They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings, and they're coming to get you, Barbara.
That's my line, and we usually wait till the end, Gavin. God,
I know.
Damn.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll wait for a second. I do want to give a shout-out to our newest Patreon subscribers. Thank you for joining our Patreon over at patreon.com/theycomingtoget you. I want to give a shout-out to my friend Nate and to Yon Song. Yon Song joined at our $5 Nut and Run tier, so he got access to our Discord server, got access to bonus episodes. And then my friend Nate, who I play Dungeons & Dragons with, he subscribed while we were playing. I was like, oh, what's this? And he's like, hey, I wanted to support you. I was like, thank you, Nate. So that means only my friend Chris and our friend Travis are sons of bitches who don't support the podcast.
You have a few true friends, and they're all patrons.
Chris's wife, Sam, is a Patreon subscriber, but he is not. And he could just use hers, but I would also like his $2 to $8.
We're like Netflix. We'll shut that down. There's no sharing.
There's no password sharing here. But thank you, Nate, and thank you, Yon Song, for becoming Patreon subscribers. If you would like a sticker, I know Nate already got a sticker from me because I know him in real life, but Yon Song, if you would like a sticker, just email us your deets over on patreon.com, message us, and I will mail you a logo sticker for They're Coming to Get You. So thank you so much. And if you want to join, again, patreon.com/theycomingtoget you.
And also, brand new, I don't know if you'll post it over there yet, but I'm going to just go ahead and spoil it. Exclusive Patreon-only episode over there is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah, just in time for the Pooniverse announcement and Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Patreon-exclusive episode for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. And I don't want to brag, but it's a good one.
It's a good episode about a bad little movie.
A bad little movie.
but today... We are continuing our season of remakes, and we're revisiting Night of the Living Dead. But this time, we've went in the way back but way forward machine to 1990.
Yes, and I had never seen this before.
Oh, so we'll get to... I'll take credit for this one. This was one that I said we should do, because, spoiler alert, next week we're going to talk about Dawn of the Dead, and you can't do a remake season without talking about that installment of Dawn of the Dead. But I said, let's do this one first. Yeah. So Gavin, what were your initial thoughts on this?
I was a little confused at first, because I knew, for some reason, I get this and the Psycho remake confused, because I know the Psycho remake is universally hated. Nobody likes that. So for some reason, in my mind, I thought this was also very hated, but it's not. It's actually very good. I like the original Night of the Living Dead, so this is pretty much a very similar type movie, except for a few big changes, but
yeah.
I really like this one.
I very much like it too, and I guess we could get this out of the way. So let's say you've got a choice between the original and the remake. What are you going to put on most times?
The original.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think it's just historically significant. And this one is, it's good, but there's just something about that original that holds up so well in a way that this is very good. But yeah. I just can't recommend watching this one over the original.
I think this one's more fun.
This one is more fun. It's not as bleak. One thing I was very confused about for most of the movie, I was like, is this still in the 60s? But apparently it was set in 1989, and I still thought it was the 60s.
Why do you think that?
I don't. Maybe it's because everything in the late 80s now looks so old that I was like, this has to be, like, what, the 1940s?
Well, this movie's even, 34 years old at the time of this recording. It's still old.
It's still very old, and I thought it was an older movie. I'm looking up right now to see the Rotten Tomatoes score to see which one scored higher.
I don't think it had a great score.
Yeah,
and I don't know why. It's a good movie.
Let me find that. There's a. Did somebody make a remake of? Oh God, I can't. This is not going to be easy because
there's so many remakes of this because it was just you could do whatever you want with the copyright deal.
Okay, let's play the guessing game. Yeah, everything is because it's copyright, which it's Winnie the Pooh. It's public domain. Uh-huh. Okay, what do you think the original Night of the Living Dead has on Rotten Tomatoes?
92.
95. So on The Price is Right, you would have not gone over, so you could still win the showcase. And then what do you think this one got?
This is cheating because I did see it recently, and I don't really remember what the exact number was, but I'm going to go with 53%.
Wrong. You might want to get your memory checked. It is 68%.
Okay.
Couldn't get one more good review?
No. I'll leave one.
Because, you know, if they get one more good review, you know what it'll be?
69. Nice.
Nice.
But that they probably just wanted to be 68 because the original came out in 68. Maybe. I don't know.
And they don't eat ass.
You don't have to eat ass in 69. Did you know that?
Have I been doing it 69 and a half?
You get to. You get to. But you don't have to.
Gavin's specialty is the 69 and a half. He goes a little bit. He goes a little higher.
Hey, I didn't say you were done back there. You got another course.
I usually just DoorDash my groceries, but I guess I'm eating them at the store tonight.
We don't normally do this. Let's start out with trivia and fact stuff because I think this is fun. And we can pepper these in. But Tom Savini, who directed this movie, and I assume did the special effects, didn't delve too deep into it. But if it's him on it, I don't know why he wouldn't be doing them. But he originally wanted to start this movie in black and white and then slowly add color.
Yeah, but that reminds me of the book The Giver.
Oh, that's true. Or was it Pleasantville with Tobey Maguire?
Yeah. I think I had to read The Giver in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And so whenever like, he can see color now, what? The apple is the reddest red he's ever seen. So I don't know if I need Night of the Living Dead to be like The Giver.
Well, I've read that book twice, I think, which that's the only book I've ever read, but
The Giver's the only the book Giver.
Yeah, I'm a huge Lois Lowry fan, but only that one.
I don't even know the author.
Yeah, but I only read books that are movies. That's my criteria.
But one specific movie, and that movie is The Giver.
Yeah. If they make a Fast and the Furious book, I'm there, baby.
You want the novelization?
Yeah.
It's just car noises written out in italics.
I did meet the guy who wrote Halloween Kills recently. He was at the Scarelastic Book Fair, not in Indianapolis. It was in McCordsville at a horror-themed brewery called Scarlet Lane. And he was there. He's written a lot of movie novelization books. And I wanted to go to the event anyway, but I knew he was there. And I had the book right over there on my shelf. And I did read it via audiobook, but I read it, Gavin. So I said, hey, man, can you sign this for me? But I do like... Yeah, he did. He was super nice. He said, hey. Nice.
Oh, good.
he didn't, but who's to know? I like the idea that starting out in black and white and then slowly adding color. I just like that as kind of a fun gimmick.
Mm, that would be kind of also like, without going back to The Giver, it'd be kind of like Sin City.
Okay. I never saw that. I only saw that part with What's-Her-Face in the rope.
Oh, Jessica Alba dancing?
Yeah.
I only know
that from the trailer. So
we should watch the... You know, I would say that we could watch Sin City for this podcast. I think we could get by with watching Sin City.
As long as we watch Back to the Future first.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Nobody would complain that we watched it, though, because it's such a good movie.
It's just, at this point, though, the ideas of the horrors of aging and needing to go back in time. And there's nothing scarier than falling in love with your own mother.
Well, not the videos I've seen, but go ahead.
God.
Oh, Marty, I'm stuck in the dryer.
Which is weird because not everybody can afford one yet. We're at the laundromat. There's so many people here. Oh, no, there's so many people here.
Actually, I mean Calvin Klein. I'm stuck in the dryer.
Play that song that you definitely didn't steal from a black man.
You can't, man, we can't have shit. us black people. I mean them. They can't have black. They can't have shit anymore.
Oh, man.
Okay.
But yeah, so color, in Sin City, it's in black and white, but they do splash color into it.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a fun gimmick.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, so this was a remake, and I think it was written by George A. Romero. I don't want to confuse George Romero with George A. Romero. Just I want to be clear on that. it was written by him, and I'm sure, I think he said it was a way to, hey, let's recoup some money from having the first one come out, and then we need to make a goddamn penny off of it because of the copyright thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I think so many people know that movie because it was so good and also free.
Yeah.
Anybody can show it, you know?
Yeah. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can get a copy right now on YouTube.
Yeah, I feel like we both should have it on our YouTube channels because it's free.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, so what happens, though, on YouTube is some people will do nefarious things like copyright claim shit that isn't theirs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've run into that before. So it gets kind of sketchy. Apparently, I thought about doing that. I was like, I should just upload, like, the most hot. I should just rip a Criterion collection of it in, like, 4K. And that's fine, right? Like, no, you can't, like.
You got to do the shitty version, quality version.
Yeah, you can't just go off ripping Criterion collections and putting them on YouTube, Gavin. It doesn't work that way.
I think you should, though. Do it, please.
Okay, I'll get my channel shut down.
Hey, then I'll be king of this podcast. I don't know how that makes me king.
What? You already have more YouTube subscribers than me with your little internet skits.
Who do you think has been reporting your stuff, Gavin? It was me all along, Gavin.
It keeps saying for nudity, and I don't even show meat on stream anymore.
Not anymore. Oh, okay. So it opens up in the same way. A lot of the movie is the same, but some of it is very different. It opens, you know, they're driving out to the cemetery because their mom's dead, and God forbid she be buried in the city. So they got to, trek 4 hours out into the country or whatever it was.
Yeah, rent's cheaper out there.
Yeah. Yeah, especially on a grave. But we get a familiar face here with Johnny, played by Bill Moseley.
Yeah, Run Rabbit Run himself, Otis Driftwood from House of 1000 Corpses. He's a Chop Top in Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, and in every horror movie where there's a cameo from Bill Moseley.
Yeah, I think like the role is not like super big for Bill Moseley, but he does a good job with it, and he adds his own twist on. He even talked about it during that thing at Living Dead Weekend. He's like, they're very horny. Like, he added that on his own. What an iconic line, because this podcast even is named after it.
Yes. You know? And we hope we're the only one called. They're coming to get you. I looked, and there's not, but I hope nobody else has it. Please don't. Please.
Well, we're the best. We're the
probably
best.
Trademark at some point. But
that line from that movie.
It's a public domain movie. Public domain movie. We're in the clear, baby. We're in the clear.
It's like Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. We're going to change our podcast to Winnie the Pooh book edition.
Pod and Honey.
Ooh, I like Pod and Honey. I like this beginning, but immediately from here, you know it's going to be a little bit of a different movie because you've got the original, like, kind of like creepy old man zombie, and he's not quite a zombie yet, but then you have ass out zombie.
Yeah, and ghoul is what the preferred term.
Or are they ghouls?
I know in the first one they call them ghouls, so.
Okay, yeah, because they never say zombie.
We get I think they do in Dawn of the Dead, the first one. I think Ken Foray says it. But we get the guy that says he's bleeding. He's like, I'm sorry. And it makes me think, did he have something to do with it? Because then we get two other zombies. We get the guy whose suit is cut in the back. You were an undertaker for a while, Gavin. Do you guys normally do that? You cut the suit down the back?
Yes, as an undertaker, me and my brother Kane would often cut the suits. Is there a point to doing that, or what's the deal?
I think so they don't have to pick up the body. You could just tuck it behind the body.
Oh, okay. So if I were to go to any funeral, is there just ass just out?
I think you could do that, yeah. I never looked, because usually it's not my loved one, but when it has been, I've never wanted to look. So I think that's a secret to the funeral industry, is they think nobody will look, but we've just exposed them like this man exposed his ass.
Wait, you're going to funerals for people you don't know?
Well, as far as they weren't my family.
Oh, okay.
And I've gone to people that I don't know to support friends.
Okay, that makes sense. I thought you were just like going, you're like checking the papers for like...
Yeah, I'm crashing funerals.
What's the hot fume this weekend?
Hey, where's the deli tray in this bitch?
Did somebody's grandma make a nice mac and cheese? I would like a family recipe mac and cheese, please.
I'm so distraught, I could use some deli meat.
You're so white, you don't even get invited to the black funerals where that real good food is.
That's probably true. I just have to eat condiment-based foods.
You're like, you don't get invited to the cookout. You don't get invited to the funerals. Mm-mm-mm.
No, I don't get invited to anything. That's why I crash. Yeah, so we get that guy. And then we get one of my favorite zombies, because at Living Dead Weekend, I saw a great cosplay of this, of the guy who gets like the cemetery ornament jammed in his body and like his neck.
Yeah.
And somebody had that. Dressed up, or they were dressed up that way, and I thought just looked so cool, because you never see that zombie. Somebody playing that zombie.
Yeah, and I feel like if you go to like a very niche horror convention that is based on like one movie, you're gonna see some stuff. There's also a guy that's just like twisted in half for most of the movie.
Yeah,
you can tell that this is like a Tom Savini, because it's already a little gorier, it's a little more violent, and like we said, it is in color. It's in color. Mm-hmm.
And it's a talkie.
Can we talk for a second about Tom Savini?
Yeah.
We've been to a lot of horror conventions. We have friends who have tables that have sat near Tom Savini. Mm-hmm. Tom Savini has to be. I've never met him personally. I've like seen him and been like, hello. Based on our friend Vinny Lanford always having a table near him and just kind of seeing Tom Savini. Tom Savini is one of the only people I've ever seen who looks so annoyed to have people handing him $60 for a photo or an autograph.
I never met the guy or got him to sign anything, but that's what I heard about him from more than one source, is, wow, if somebody's handing me money, Gavin, I'm like, wow, thank you. How are you? What's your name? What do you do? Give me the last three digits on your card, your address. I'm happy to meet you.
Yeah. If you ever go to a horror con, try to find the Facebook horror group for that con on Facebook. Like, I'm in Fans of Horror Hound. I'm in like Scarefest Fans or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there are people, it is undeniable. It will happen. If Tom Savini is at a con, around the time the first night ends, everybody will go on that Facebook group and start bitching about how impersonable Tom Savini is. And it goes on all week. I'm like, yeah, Tom Savini was really shitty to my kids. Tom Savini was shitty to my grandfather. And you're like, what is he? Tom Savini, just smile. Just be happy.
Tom Savini dug up my grandma and spit right in her face.
And then put her in a
movie. Took $60 out of her.
He put her
in a movie. And pulled her dress off because it was cut in the back.
I saw my Nana's ass on the big screen.
And also, you have your own stories. You met Kane Hodder famously, and he was not the nicest guy.
Kane Hodder was not super nice to me. Bruce Campbell was super disappointing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been really nice that I met. I'm going to, by the time this comes out, I will have gone to Horror Hound Cincinnati this weekend. And I hope everybody's super nice when I mm-hmm. go there. For next week's episode, I should have some report backs on that, how that went.
Do you think Kane Hodder was shitty because when they took the picture, somebody was like, all right, everybody say Freddy versus Jason. I wasn't in that one.
You know how I know Kane Hodder wasn't in Freddy versus Jason?
he'll tell you.
He'll tell you and then be pissed when you hand him 60 American dollars.
But let's get back to whatever movie we're talking about. What are we talking about?
This is not Living Dead 1990.
And we get an overall something that's different to this one is we get Barbara.
Yeah.
But she's not that typical 60s, 50s, 60s, sees a monster and faints.
No.
She's a strong female lead.
Mm-hmm. And that's when I stopped caring. No. that's when it took me out. Having never seen this, I did not know they were going to turn Barbara into Furiosa from Mad Max.
Yeah, they turned her into that character.
Yeah.
30 years before they made the character.
Yes, Furiosa is based on Patricia Tallman as Barbara in this movie.
And also Linda Hamilton and Terminator.
I like her portrayal in this. She is not the screaming, helpless, "You're ignorant, Johnny," fainting, falling out. She takes charge. And Ben, this time, is played by the Candyman, bitch, Tony Todd, which I was not expecting.
Did you not know that?
I did not know that. This came out about 2 years before Candyman, about 4 years before The Crow.
That's two, by the way. You said you had two Handymans.
Are you saying Handyman or Candyman?
That's three.
I need to know, though, did you say Handyman or Candyman?
I said Handyman. God, that's four. You're looking in a mirror right now.
You know that it's Candyman, right?
That's five. My God.
Hey.
He's right behind you.
What? What?
I'm bleeding.
I'm the Candyman, bitch. Like, what?
Hey, I want Handyman to know that I had nothing to do with this. Why do my entrails hurt? Oh, no.
I like that you keep saying Handyman. If you're like, do you need somebody to fix your sink that bad? That thick dog.
Tim Allen shows up.
I want to give a shout out to our good friend and patron subscriber, Chanel, who loved us talking about thick dog necks on our Candyman episode, by the way.
Man, there were some thick-ass dog necks.
Thick as dog necks, baby.
Ooh, look at her. She thick as a dog neck and Candyman.
I like my oatmeal thick, you know, like a dog's neck.
that dog is just a thick dog. I can't believe you didn't even know Tony Todd was in this. Yeah,
I didn't know Tony Todd was in this. I'm sorry, I can't keep track of everything. Tony, when I met him, I should have asked him, be like, were you in that movie?
And he was friends with the name escapes me, the original Ben. I'm pretty sure that's what I read or heard previously.
Isn't it Dwayne?
Dwayne the Rock
Johnson. Yes. Johnson.
It was Dwayne something, and I don't remember his name. But yeah, he was friends with him. Like, they had acting classes or had acted previously. And Tony Todd really wanted this role.
Mm-hmm. And I think he does a great job. Obviously, this is not a one-for-one retelling, but it's very similar. It's more this time out, as the original was about racial inequality. This is more about gender inequality.
Would you say so?
I would say so. It's not so much about race this time. There's a very...
Dwayne Jones.
So we were close with Johnson.
Dwayne the Rock Jones.
Yeah.
If you smell what the Dwayne Jones is cooking.
Listen, we are trying to make less wrestling references. We are really trying, but it is so hard. It's such a huge part of our life, and it's so easily referenced. We are so sorry to our non-wrestling fans.
Dwayne Johnson has transcended wrestling.
Yeah, he's Black Adam.
And he was in Jumanji. Tall?
Walk Tall? The Tooth Fairy?
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to find the shittiest. That probably the Tooth Fairy
is
the shittiest one. But so we have got Tony Todd, and you are saying that this movie is more about gender stuff, because Barbara really takes charge in this, and we also have Harry Cooper.
Yeah.
Who gets his ass somewhat handed to him by Barbara.
Yes. And in the original movie, Barbara is hysteric. She is losing her mind. And
is catatonic the right word?
She's catatonic, supersonic.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwayne Jones Ben has to literally smack her to get her to, like, chill out.
Well, you know, sometimes these broads just get out of hand, and you gotta. Because then we get Harry Cooper smacking his wife around. We get at least one white woman slapped in this movie, but it was his wife.
Yeah, I kept waiting for Tony Todd to smack her, and then he doesn't. I was like, oh, what? This is
1990 was a different time. Even was it shot in 89, but still.
Yes, it was a different time, the year 1990. You do have her taking on more of a hero final girl role throughout this movie, but everything in between is kind of the same.
It's kind of the same because we get the other characters. We, you know, of course, Harry Cooper, his wife's down there, and his daughter, Sarah, is bitten. But then we get John Fogerty. Marty McFly dressed in the life preserver, and was it Judy Rose or whatever her name is?
Yes.
That's the lady who should have been slapped, was just hysterical throughout the movie.
Yes. William Butler plays Tom. Katie Finneran plays Judy Rose. Were those two characters in the original, or did they add those?
Yeah, they were in there.
Okay. Because I always
I don't remember the dynamic that house was his uncle's house. I don't remember if that's in the original.
Because I know we did a podcast on this about maybe 6 months to a year ago. I don't know. Time is a flat circle.
Yep.
But I remember the Coopers, like the mom, the dad, and the little girl in the basement, and then Ben and Barbara. But I always forget that there's two other people there who get blowed up in a truck.
Yeah, she. It's weird when they're like, yeah, she can drive. I'm like, well, it's 1990. I think women could drive back then. It's just a truck. Like,
she can vote? Huh?
God, this lady just screams the whole time. And that's, producer wife and I were watching this, and we were like, that borders on like Texas Chainsaw or Rob Zombie territory of just this woman screaming way too much.
Yeah. And, we have surround sound, so it's just like, God, can our neighbors hear the howls of a woman trapped in our basement right now?
Yeah, you had to turn up Night of the Living Dead 1990 so they wouldn't hear the lady in the basement.
It really masked. I was like, we're just watching Night of the Living Dead 1990. You know that very well-known film. It's not obscure.
The cop's like, oh, shit, with Tony Todd? And you're like, I didn't even know.
I didn't know, but he's so good in that. Do you like Candyman? Candyman? Candyman?
Stop it. Candyman? Not the new one, because it went woke and they didn't like the costume.
Candyman?
Stop.
Oh, shit. The new woke Candyman just showed up, and he's teaching me critical race theory.
CRT. Man, if something happens, I hope we get it on camera, and I could use that for clicks to get more listeners.
White comedian killed by Candyman. I don't know why I have to be white. I don't know why I have to be white in the video clip.
I don't know why you call yourself a comedian. Got him.
Oh, shit. I'm dead. I'm dead. If Candyman don't get me, you just roasted my ass.
So we get the young couple. And that's in this one, at least. I'd have to go rewatch the first one again, but this is his uncle's house.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the zombies that are in the house already. I guess his cousin shot himself in the head. We get the fat zombie walking around when they initially come into the house for the first time. And we get the same dynamic of Harry Cooper says, down here, the basement is mine. Mm-hmm. And Ben says, everything up here is ours. And we get that dynamic of what would you choose? Would you stay down below or up top? And then we get what I would have chosen first off is to go in the attic later, and that he survives because he was in the attic.
Yeah. It is a choice. So you would go in the attic. That's where you would go.
I would check to see if there's an attic, and I assume a house like that has an attic.
It's kind of like it's kind of like a Hannah Montana's situation where it is the best of both worlds, where you
there you go with those references that I don't get, but
I'm trying to get the youth, you know. You
couldn't
like
have made a Sammy Hagar reference. Best of both. What? See, I get some of the older references, you get some of the new one, and then we get all the dynamics.
Yes,
that
you guys
covered.
You guys like that Miley Cyrus, don't you?
And you guys love Sammy Hagar.
But you get the best of both. world because you're secluded enough, but you can like see shit. You're above it all. You have a place to go more easily if you're up top. If you're in the basement, you are at the lowest level. You have to like go up past shit, and there could be more shit above you. But if you're in an attic, you can go down and out. It's easier.
Yeah, and I feel like we probably had this discussion on the original episode, but unless there's like windows out of the basement, then even then you're kind of vulnerable because you're at a lower level crawling out. I feel like if you stay up top, you can at least crawl out on the roof, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to crawl out of a basement window and get stuck, because then you are actually just screwed.
Yeah, and you're Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah. Oh, stepbrother, how'd you get stuck in that window?
We're making so many Winnie the Pooh references because we just recorded that Winnie the Pooh episode tonight.
I know. I keep wanting to be like, this is in the public domain, you know, like Winnie the Pooh.
We're in Pooh mode.
You never go full Pooh mode. I want to say, with Tom Savini doing the effects for this, you can tell his influence because there are so many dummies in the first like 20 minutes of this movie.
There's one that's very clear.
Yes. Every time she hits something with like a pipe, it's a dummy. There are you talking about the scene that where he falls over the
banister? Johnny Johnny in the cemetery. He gets pushed over and his neck gets like snapped on the headstone.
Yeah.
That's very clearly a dummy. And again, I know this is not real. And we're using with practical effects, whatever. But I'm like, God, that just looks like a dummy.
And yeah, anytime you see them hitting something or shooting something, you're like, that's a dummy, that's a dummy. And it's not distracting because it's very silly. But I always, it's like when you're driving on the highway and you see cows, you're like, that's a dummy. You know, I see where they switched them out.
That's a dummy cow. We did get the thing that I heard Tom Savini talk about. In this one, too, there's a scene in Friday the 13th when the axe goes up and it hits the light fixture. So we get to see that even the fake prop hits something metal and you see that it's a real, like a metal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We get that, too, where Ben hits the zombie with a frying pan. He pulls it back and hits the wall and part of the wall comes off and then he hits the zombie. So he does that to like establish that this is a real item. Like real metal, and then they'll do the prop. They'll switch it out for the prop type deal.
Yeah, it gives you it gives the prop weight. It shows that there's weight behind it when it hits you. Because if you just swing on nothing, you're like, oh, it's fake. But if it like makes contact with something else, it gives it weight and makes the impact more brutal.
Yeah, there's a lot of good kills. Even you sent me before we turned the mics on here of, I guess this movie, is it heavily censored? Is that what they're saying? But they had to cut some kills so it wouldn't have an X rating.
Okay, so I want to give a shout out to our good friend from the Great White North of Canada, MVB, one of our Patreon subscribers, who's active in our Discord. If you join our Patreon, you can join our Discord server. And he said he was listening to, he watched the movie, and then he listened to the commentary. And apparently the MPAA made him cut a lot of things because it did have an X rating. There was a lot of stuff with like exit wound splatter from firearms edited out to get an R rating from an X. And it sounds like it's the same problem that Romero had with the MPAA and Dawn of the Dead years prior. Mm-hmm. So the MPAA around this time really cracking down on things. RoboCop came out in 87 and that was heavily censored. Not heavily censored, but they did have to cut things out of it. But a lot was cut from this movie in order to get that R rating. And there's like entire kills just shown off screen in the theatrical version that actually have full shot sequences that are available on YouTube and through certain screenings that Tom Savini's done of like a work print.
Yeah. And like if you want to watch those, the video that we watched, it's called Night of the Living Dead 1990 Uncut X-Rated Scenes.
You know what? I will throw it up on the Patreon for free for everybody. Everybody can read it if you're like a free member or anybody. Just I'll throw it up there for free so everybody can look at it. Patreon.com/they're coming to get you.
And what did you think of these scenes? Because I guess I'm so jaded and 34 years removed that I'm like, none of this was super bad. But you got to put it in context of 1990. maybe they just didn't want heads exploding still in movies, you know?
We have to put this in the context, too, of things that we've watched in that we've watched on this podcast.
We're desensitized.
We watched last week The Fly, which is super gross and very, very violent, very disgusting, a lot of effects.
But also, we watched, I assume, was not the cut version.
Yeah.
That made it to theaters.
Yes, that made it to theaters. We watched the uncut version of RoboCop, I believe. But yeah, they had to, there's only one scene in this that was cut where I was like, God damn, which is when, what's his face, Tom from Creedence Clearwater Revival.
does look like, I sent you the picture, he looks like John Fogerty.
I was like, who's John Fogerty? And I was like, oh, from Creedence Clearwater Revival, there's a bad moon on the rise, or there's a bathroom on the right.
Yeah, I prefer bathroom on the right.
there's a scene where he's in the back of the truck, and he just shoots a zombie with a shotgun, and their head explodes, similar to the Dawn of the Dead zombie exploding or Scanners.
Yeah, I didn't think anything was like super, you know, like, oh wow, I'm offended, but also I don't think I'm the typical movie viewer, but. I think it would be interesting to, because what we saw were work prints, and it's surprising how shitty the quality is on that versus what I watched on Amazon.
Yeah. And because the work prints normally never go through the full process of being like, I don't know, digitized or upscaled, or I don't know how it works, but they're work prints, basically. They're like the negatives of a camera, kind of.
Yeah. Even still being censored, whether it's Tom Savini or George A. Romero.
George A. Romero, yes. But they did have to cut a lot. And Tom Savini, his whole thing is makeup. So one of the main appeals of this is gore. We want to see Tom Savini bring that legendary gore from Dawn of the Dead, Friday the 13th, all of these great movies. And because we didn't get that gore satiated, and it does cut away a lot, that's kind of why the movie kind of flopped, because it's too similar to the original in that, well, we have the original already. And if you're doing somebody with like Tom Savini with gore effects, you want to see those gore effects on display.
You think that's the reason why it flopped?
I think so. I think that, in my opinion, I think general audiences probably just didn't care. Mm-hmm. And the hardcore horror fans didn't care because it didn't have a lot of gore in it. Because Tom Savini is a legend. Like, gore, like we keep saying, is his thing. And if he can't do his thing, then what's the point?
Do you think this is, like, too similar to the original that you gotta choose two for, one can exist, one gets deleted. Do you think that this is so similar to the original that you would just take the OG?
I would.
Yeah.
I think the OG is more important of a film.
I do think so, too. But I think even this movie, zombie movies lend themselves to such a great imagery. You keep getting that shot of, like, the yard or the field where there's no zombies, and it keeps cutting back to that shot throughout the movie. And every time you see it, there's a little more zombies in it.
Mm-hmm.
And just shooting zombies like the original version in the dark from afar, and just to see bodies kind of shuffling towards you, is still great imagery. And if you saw that in real life, I think you'd shit your tracksuit.
Yeah, I don't like looking out my window at night and seeing like a neighbor walking their dog. Because
yeah, let alone shuffling, you know?
Yeah, shuffling their dog. I don't like seeing that because it gives you like, it says, well, why are you outside? What are you doing right now? Go inside.
In my yard.
You know? Why are you in my yard? This is my property.
So I do think that, and I think this was also Tom Savini's directorial debut, and I don't know what else he directed, but.
I've got it pulled up here. Yeah, it was his directorial debut. Let's see, as a director, he's done 9 things as a director. He did, this was his first movie he directed, but he did direct 3 episodes of Tales from the Dark Side. He did a movie called Chill Factor, A House Call. He did Dead Time Stories, Theater Bazaar, Red Scorpion, Flicker, and an episode of the Creepshow TV series from 2019.
Okay.
But this is like his big budget, only real big theatrical thing he's done.
I wonder why he didn't direct more stuff.
Because he had a really bad experience with this movie.
How so?
He had a really bad experience with this where he, let me see. He basically had, he had to fight the producers all the time about things. Because George Romero didn't have a lot of input. And Tom Savini like butted heads with the actual producers of the movie. So it was not a pleasant experience. He does not have fond memories of this movie. Yeah. I read somewhere where he recently, in the past couple of years, finally got to like sit down and like objectively watch this movie. And he's like, oh, it's actually not too bad. Because he could like watch it. He was like far enough removed from the experience that he could just like enjoy it.
One of the facts I came across was that he had to fight producers a lot to make Barbara the heroine as opposed to getting slapped around and catatonic, you know?
Yeah, and it makes it, it's insane to think that we were against making women a heroine or a hero in 1990.
And maybe they, I don't know if they just, hey, just redo it, make it the same, and we'll make money off of it. Or if they were, I don't know if they were against like making her the hero, or if they didn't want her to play as big a part as they, as Savini wanted her to play, you know? But also, she's like running around with a shotgun. She's got some military pants on.
Mm-hmm.
She's handling the shit.
Yeah.
Along with Tony Todd, too.
Mm-hmm. And this is the, and it, this is a year before two big female led movies come out that really changed the game for how women are portrayed in this style of movie. You mentioned one earlier. This is a year before Terminator 2 comes out and shows like Sarah Connor as like the badass, as like the hero with the AK, with like the M16 trying to defend everything. And it's also a year before one of the episodes we did on this podcast, Silence of the Lambs, that show Clarice Starling, Jodie Foster, as like very capable.
You smell
of,
that?
What's it smell like?
It smells what the Rock is cooking. Switched it up.
I love it when you think you're gonna zig and you zag on them.
But yeah, like I interrupted you, but your point was, you know, you get two female heroes, and they're both different. One is like run and gun, literally, and the other's like detective, super smart, doesn't crack under pressure type, you
yes.
know?
One of them, too. The scene I always think about, because people talk about Sarah Connor as like this badass hero defending her family. The thing that may, when she is the most military in Terminator 2, she is trying to kill a father, and is and like, that's like her at the, when she's like the most badass, she's trying to just kill a family man in his office.
Well, he shouldn't have made the program or whatever the plot is of that movie, and then
fucking Cyberdyne.
Yeah.
And Skynet.
Cyberdyne sounds like a medicine that I'm on.
Cyberdyne, I barely knew her.
Man, I just hurt so bad. I got to take my Cyberdyne today. The Mercedes driven by Johnny was Tom Savini's, the first car he ever bought when he started making some Skrilla. That's not what it says here in the fact. I just changed it to make it cool. But
I love Skrilla.
It hurt his heart to wreck that car, but he did it for the movie.
Yes. there's one. There's a couple of lines that stick out. That this is why I thought it was like still the This is why I thought it was still the 1960s.
You yo-yos.
Yes. I was like, what? What?
He says it three times within about a minute.
Yeah. Really, she's a mom, so you know what that makes her. What? A real yo-yo ma.
A real yo-yo. Come on. She's an Asian cello player. I think that's what yo-yo ma plays, is the cello. And it was weird. Like, even in 1990, that is a very angry white guy word to throw around.
Mm-hmm.
It's either that or peckerhead.
What would the equivalent of calling somebody a yo-yo today be? Like, what would be the
most... Bozo. And you always hear a white guy do that when, like, they're driving. What's this bozo doing?
You've gotten hecklers before. Have you ever just ended a heckler by being like, hey, be quiet, bozo?
Once you tongue my ding-a-ling, bozo. That's available at they're coming to get you shop.com as a new shirt. Tug my ding-a-ling, bozo.
Don't say that. These weird people will want that. They'll be like, man, I can't wait to wear this to the PTA meeting.
Hey, you don't want to give my kid soda at lunch? How about you tug my ding-a-ling, bozo?
You know what's fun? I think bozo is public domain. So So we can use old time bozo.
Actually, bozo is owned by David Arquette.
Is he?
Yes. He bought the, I'm pretty sure David Arquette owns the copyright to Bozo the Clown.
Oh, are you just Googling David Arquette bozo?
Yeah, it's, he bought, that was a news story. Yeah, he bought the rights to Bozo the Clown.
Okay, well, I learned so much from this podcast in not doing research for this podcast.
Yeah, and it says right here that you could tongue my hang down bozo.
But she calls him a yo-yo. I also, the girl, it's Sarah, right? The little girl.
The daughter, yeah. Yeah.
Sarah.
As a, Karen, I think she's Karen in the first one. I don't know why they changed that, but.
You know why.
Yeah. 1990, they knew what Karens were.
They knew what Karens were going to be, let me tell you. But she is, I said, she is too old to be dressed like that.
Yeah, they're, and it's never explained why they're in formal wear, but I think it's an interesting thing that they made him that way.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think it was to show, in the original, I think it was to show maybe a class difference.
Probably, yeah.
But then in this, it's just like, where were you going? Were you going to an Olive Garden and then this all happened?
Yeah, I wear the tux to the garden.
I wear the tux to the garden. To the garden.
I call it the garden. Hey, I'm headlining the garden. Madison Square? No, Olive. Bozo. it is weird because, like, you get the dynamic between the husband and the mom, and it's like, why are you guys together?
Yeah.
You hate each other, and he's just an asshole, and you know she's the type of woman that, like, if somebody cut him off in traffic, she'd be like, you know, you're not going to pull over and say nothing because you got a little dick. She would be the type of woman that does, even though she's not wrong, he's an asshole, but I feel like the way she plays it, she can't wait to mention his little dick. You little prick son of a bitch, my mother was right, you bozo.
I haven't orgasmed in 15 years, and we've been together for 15 years.
It's rare that, you know, that we've done the original and the remake, and across both, that character you hate so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he won't help with putting up the door or handing him nails. He takes the gun from Barbara. You're just rooting for this guy to get it. And do you want to just talk about how he does get it?
Yeah, he gets it. So everything is pretty much the same throughout this movie until the zombies bust in. We've got that great scene where they have the gas run. The whole point hinges on they're trying to get gas for this truck so they can leave. Mm-hmm. And the lovebirds go out there. They realize that they don't have the right key. They blow up the gas station pump, which is a great scene. I love me a good explosion.
And Judy Rose, Ben's running behind this truck. And God, you're so stupid. Because he's running behind the truck and then falls out because you're such a shitty driver.
Yeah.
They're slow as shit. Mm-hmm. Just go slightly faster.
Yeah. And then you've got basically Ben gets mad, or Harry loses his shit because they realize their daughter's turned. They're going to try to kill he doesn't want his daughter to get killed. So his wife ends up getting shot. His daughter gets up shot anyway. And then we have a firefight between mm-hmm. Ben and Harry. And Harry shoots Ben and is the reason, like, Ben gets killed and turns into a fucking zombie.
Yeah, it's not as bleak as an ending.
Yeah.
It's still not great, but at least it's not like based in racism, you know?
Yeah. It's a very, I'm glad we moved past all that racism.
And just, you know, the black guy can just regular die as opposed to racist die.
Yes. I also wrote in my notes, I love that they do a newscast towards the end of the movie where all the characters learn what's happening. It's like, we already know. We know what's up.
Yeah. And maybe that was a decision to, I don't know why they would do that, but it's like, maybe if you're watching this, we kind of already know, like you said, know mm-hmm. what's happening. And we don't get like the roaming, we don't get the newscast, but we don't get the roaming packs of rednecks. Cause I wrote in the notes, I forgot that there were no rednecks in this movie. And then we get a lot at the end, mm-hmm. which also in Dawn of the Dead, we get so many of those packs at the beginning of that movie.
Yes. I wrote newscast. I love that Harry, he steals a TV and is just like, where's he going with that TV? He says he's not taking it to the basement, but he's clearly taking it to the basement.
Well, the thing is, if you you loot, we shoot. That's what we do around here.
When he steals a TV, I wrote, it leads to one of my favorite parts of this movie. It leads to a piano fight where they fight near a piano and just keep clunk, 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 clunk. It's like me trying to play a jazz album.
Regular, that was experimental jazz.
It's called fight. You know, jazz. It's like conflict. It's anger. It's just vibing.
Yeah. It's when we throw a big tube TV on a piano and call it music.
That TikTok has 400 million views.
That news scene when she's in that redneck camp, we get the newscaster who is the original newscaster from the 68 version. Bill, I think, is Cardill, or some would call him Chili Billy. He was a local horror movie host in the Pittsburgh area. So nice. That's the same guy from both movies. And then the guy he's interviewing is Johnny, the original Johnny from the 1968 version.
Nice.
And he says, oh, they're dead. They're all messed up, or whatever he says, which is the exact same line from the first one.
Nice. I like those little callbacks. I did not notice those, so I'm glad you brought them facts.
Well, I knew that that guy's voice was similar to the one before because it's such a unique voice, and I looked it up. So
yeah.
And then later we get Barbara says that's another one for the fire. Mm-hmm. That's another line because I remember the guy from the first ones. He says it. That's another one for the fire. Mm-hmm. Like it's very not pronounced or in that accent. So
by the end of this, Barbara is like an action hero. She's got like the bandolier. Which, where do you just get a bandolier for bullets?
It don't matter.
They're zombies. She looks cool. I like the other point where she's like, when that shirtless zombie's like trying to bust in, and she shoots him like five times to prove he won't die. And I was like, can we not waste our bullets proving a point, but leave it to a lady to do whatever it takes to prove they're right?
Well, that's like she's running around in the field and pointing a gun at all these zombies and doesn't shoot them. But then she eventually shoots one. And, you know, producer wife is like, you're just wasting bullets. Mm-hmm. But we've seen all the zombie movies, so we know that's true, you know?
Yeah.
And she also has a realization that other people didn't up till this point in zombie movies is that just walk a little faster. you get so much of that in The Walking Dead. One of the fun things I think they do in The Walking Dead is they'll just lead a horde of zombies somewhere, and now they're a weapon, you know?
Yeah. It ain't much, but it's honest work.
Yeah. But it's like it took them that long in the zombie genre for them to figure that out. They probably did it earlier, but, you know, just walk a little faster than the shuffling dead.
Yeah. I do like that. It still has kind of a bleak ending. It's not as bleak as like them shooting the one black survivor, but it's very bleak and like we're treating the zombies inhuman and not just killing them to put them out of their misery, but you're like shooting them for target practice and using them for your own entertainment.
Zombie fights.
Yeah. And she
on UFC.
A UFC 4 at UFC 300. We've got, I don't know, Conor McGregor versus a zombie.
He tested positive for rigor mortis. He's not going to be able to fight this weekend.
He didn't make weight. His arm fell off, and he's way under.
Well, they did have that heroin needle zombie.
Yeah, that was like, is this a statement? Is this a political statement?
I don't know. And then you get like the mouse, the guy who eats the mouse. And that was actually Lenny from Mice and Men if he were a zombie. That's true.
During the scene after the car blew up, there's like that cooked person and the zombies are eating it. We got barbecue for dinner tonight. So I was like eating barbecue. Like, that's pretty good, guys. Am I right?
Yeah, it is one of like I did it one time where I was watching The Walking Dead and eating, and I was like, yeah, I don't watch the show while I'm eating, because that makeup is like top tier to me of zombie makeup, and it's too gross to be watching, you know?
Mm-hmm. It just makes me hungry.
Hungry. Mm. Yeah, I do like you get like a camp set up of, they got the target practice zombies, they got the fighting for sport zombies, they got like a hot dog stand already set up. And it's a very almost too on the nose, as Barbara says, we're them and they're us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have just not said that line, but I get it. But it's like every zombie thing that's ever existed should be, it's about the human drama as opposed to the zombie drama. Because like, we see pretty quickly how shit just breaks down once you just introduce a little bit of anarchy, as the Joker would say, or chaos. Yeah. Like we saw it with COVID. That's, you know, you got sick and some people died. I'm not trying to downplay that, but it's like, that wasn't even the dead coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
And eating people, and people lost their goddamn minds.
Yeah. I'm in my Facebook memories right now. It's all like, remember when I found all that toilet paper and I was the king of my town for a few days?
Yeah, I could shit better than you, Bozo.
I had the... hey, Bozo, I got the cleanest ass.
But, like, it's just a little bit of anarchy, and, like, they're just roving gangs of rednecks, and it just, you know, it's scary to think how quickly we'd break down as a society if you just introduced one thing wrong, you know.
I mean we did that, like, we like that's we've seen, and this came out in 1990, and I feel like as the years have, as we are now 34 years removed from this movie, we're over 60 years almost from the original movie, and I think we're over 60 years now, maybe
68.
So yeah, we're getting close to 60 years for it. And the way we act is more closely resembling a movie from 1968 than moving further away from it. And that's kind of scary when you think about just how, with all the miscommunication, all the misinformation, and not to be like literally political or anything, but it's like, I could see this happening way more than it not happening.
Yeah. And it's like, and maybe that's like, are we just as humans predictable? Like, we're more the guy in the cellar than we are the guy up top.
Yes.
You know?
The smarter we get with technology, the dumber we are becoming as people.
The more we lose touch with emotions and, like, human connection.
Mm-hmm. All I know is, when the zombie outbreak happens, I'm gonna do my own research.
I'm still going to spring break.
Look, I'm a mask up. I'm going to wear some coats. Dang, they ain't biting me. I'm
getting some BMX pads. I'm going to Dick's Sporting Goods.
I'm going to go to a Get Wet.
I'm going to have a Fox. It's going to be the Fox brand pads. I'm going to look like I'm at the X Games.
Why is he drinking so much Monster? It came with the Fox outfit.
And they'd be like, oh, that's just Brent. He always drinks that amount of Monster. But we kind of, long way around, Ben comes up from the cellar and also laughs at himself insane because they found the gas keys when all Cooper had to do was look, like his wife said, find the gas tank keys. And then... Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You were very still in the camera. It looked like you froze.
I'm like, I'm just listening intently. I'll move more.
So when Tony Todd comes up, and we get that he's a zombie, and I guess it's a little better ending.
Yeah.
Than the other just, hey, let's shoot. It's a black guy or it's a zombie. It doesn't matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then Cooper comes down to the attic, and he's like, you survived. And then Barbara does what we all wanted to do the whole movie, and she just puts one in his brain, and she says, that's another one for the fire.
Mm-hmm. And then she says, what about Bozo?
Why don't you tug my hang down, Bozo? Don't you forget about me. She walks off into the field.
Sincerely, The Breakfast Club.
And nobody, I don't think anybody is mad that she killed a guy that's alive, because this dude's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to tell? Like, who's going to tell?
Not him.
No, got him.
So how do you think this plays out after the fact? Because it looks like in this moment, they have the zombies under control.
Mm-hmm.
But as we all know, that doesn't mean anything.
At some point, somebody did the math on either Reddit or somewhere on the internet, where at some point, if the zombies cannot breed, like without, I mean, you can make a new zombie by biting a zombie or by biting a person.
Mm-hmm.
But once you have a certain amount of people bitten, you're either going to bite the whole world or there'll be enough survivors to fight back where you can kind of like contain it, wipe it out.
Yeah.
I think they can contain it if they work really hard because they're not going to make new zombie babies. So I think they can contain it as long as
wait till next week.
What?
Wait till next week.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But normally you can't. But that was a special case.
Yeah.
But I think that you can contain the zombies as long as you stay vigilant, because at some point everybody's either going to be a zombie or they are all will start like rotting off and dying.
Has somebody done the take on it where there's a zombie apocalypse and now we get even more of the human drama of it's a play for power. Hey, mm-hmm. I could take over the country now. You know, has that been done yet?
After the zombie apocalypse or during the zombie apocalypse?
During. Like, it'd be perfect opportunity to take control of everything.
I mean, that's what Negan did in The Walking Dead, kind of.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, like, the Walking Dead's all about a play for power. Like, you had a guy who literally called himself the governor and took over a town. Everybody, The Walking Dead is a great show and a great comic, but it becomes repetitive where you've got this villain. Well, we beat the villain. Now we're going to fight this new villain who's basically doing the same thing as the last villain, but worse.
Way more charismatic.
Yeah. God, we love Negan. Even though he killed all those people, we're like, he's okay. He's fine
he's
now.
He's all right with me.
He's all right.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan's a handsome man.
Mm-hmm. Denny Duquette from Grey's Anatomy, baby.
Yep. That's whatever you said for you. And anything else we need to talk about with this? I'm looking at my notes, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else for you yo-yos.
Anything for us, you yo-yo? The yo-yos and the bozos. This was Tony Todd's first horror film.
And first of many, because he's in at least some of the, what's the?
Hatchet?
The dead movies that people die in. What? Doesn't narrow it down at all. Final Destination.
Yeah, he's in Final Destination. He's in Candyman. Hatchet. Candyman.
God damn it. Yeah, he's in that one.
Yeah.
Three of them.
Yeah.
Four, maybe, but.
Yeah, he's in Candyman 2, Candyman 3, and then he makes a cameo in the new Candyman. 5 again. Yeah. I did it.
Yeah, and it's a guy who I follow on social media, and like he always seemed to be working as an actor.
He's very
smart.
Whether
it's the biggest thing you've ever heard, that's you know, usually not, but it's like the guy wants to work, and I can respect that.
Mm-hmm. Ving Rhames was considered for Ben. 14 years later, he was cast in the remake of another Romero zombie film, Dawn of the Dead, 2004, which we'll cover next week.
One of my favorite lines in that movie, which we'll talk about next week.
Oh, I can't wait to rewatch this. I cannot wait to rewatch The Dawn of the Dead 2004.
I think it'll be so fun. I'm just looking at the facts. So, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, I think this was a good remake. I enjoyed watching it. I think the original is still better. But this is a fun remake, and I'm glad that it is not just like the same movie beat for beat the entire time, just in mm-hmm. color.
I think, you know, it's if some movies are so old and there's the thing with no color, that this might be a, would you say this, if you got a kid that you want to show a zombie movie to, do you think this is a good entry to like, hey, here's a horror movie?
I think so. I think that I would rather show to them Dawn of the Dead, which mm-hmm. we're covering next week. But I think if you have to show them like the first one, that this is probably Gen Z would much rather watch this than, well, they'd probably rather watch TikToks. But they probably, can I watch it in 14 parts on TikTok? Okay. But
it's
I would.
A generation much, always on an app called TikTok, but they can't read a regular goddamn clock.
You know what? I gave my kids instructions on how to cook their own dinner, but it's in cursive. They starved to death.
They had to call 911 on a rotary phone, so they died.
Made them dry. You know what? My car has a Gen Z anti-theft system. It's called a stick shift.
God, these fucking boomers.
Put that shit on a Minions meme. We will blow up so fucking fast.
Yeah, we'll just put this podcast on a smartphone and they'll never hear it to begin with. So. I like this movie. Oh, is this movie scary?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think it is for the right person, but I probably tend to agree more with you. What's your oh shit moment?
Oh shit moment is going to be the dummy hitting the head on the cemetery. It's like, oh shit, that's a dummy.
My oh shit moment is the zombie ghoul mm-hmm. Getting the ornament thing in his. I just love that kill. And yeah. Not even a kill. But
very nice. And then what's your favorite kill?
Favorite kill, probably Harry, the Mr. Cooper. Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
I think that's a good...
Harry Cooper. What a shitty show that would be.
Oh, God. He's just arguing about where to sit the whole movie or the whole show. I like the gas station explosion. I think that's fun. And then also Harry getting shot at the end.
If you like this, what else should you check out? Obviously, the original, what we're going to watch next week. Any other special zombie movies?
Not really. Probably Shaun of the Dead. That's one that's not mm-hmm. mentioned. I mean, we could be like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead remake, which we're watching next week. If you don't know, we're watching it next week.
If you don't know, now you know.
No. Oh, yeah, and then just any of the other remakes that we've talked about on this show, really.
I think a horror hidden gem and for the zombie genre is one that I own. I can't vouch for it more than I own the movie, but Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Ooh. It's more of a horror comedy.
That's nice.
It's got David Koechner in it, but it's just a good movie.
And if you want something zombie with a foreign flair, Train to Busan, Korean film.
Oh, yeah.
That is really, really good.
And I think they're remaking that now, or will, or have. And I think it's like Train to New York, so that will be out soon.
Okay, cool. I'm excited for that.
And as we said, next week, Dawn of the Dead remake.
2004, Zack Snyder directed.
Check us out on Patreon. Got a lot of cool bonus stuff over there and stuff, including stuff that you will never hear on this free feed.
Yeah, like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we've got a Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey episode up right now as a bonus episode. Also access to like 13 or 14 other bonus episodes. You also get access to our Discord. And depending on what tier you subscribe, you can get movie nights, trivia nights, and just interact with us like on a daily basis. Just hang out with us over on Discord.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Barbara!
Sorry.
You're fine.
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.